Tonight, James gets cottonmouth, Mike gets microaggressive, and we break up a catfight.
JanserTrailPunk.com.
And this is Couch Potato Mike. How are you doing today, sir?
Welcome back, Potato. You were here last week.
Yeah, I was here.
Yes.
So were you.
Yes, we were here.
So welcome you back as well. We're not getting off to a good start.
We are not.
No, no, you can't even remember who the hell I am now.
Aren't you that sweet potato Mike dude?
I am your father.
You are my father. How have you been this week?
Well, you know, uneventful week at work, which is the best I could ever hope for there.
Right.
And other than that, I've actually been doing interesting. Relatively good.
Yeah.
Interesting. I've had a couple of cool days. I haven't been as angry lately.
Yeah.
And I'm an angry person. I really am.
You are. I think we may be talking about why you may not be as angry later on. Possibly.
Awesome.
My brain is not working optimally this morning.
No, I can tell.
I'm a little tired. I don't know why I didn't sleep well-ish.
Well,
tummy ache. Yeah. Like, I had to take my last Alka-Seltzer and keep from throwing up.
Plop, plop, fizz, fizz.
I like Alka-Seltzer. What have I done this week? I have done nothing. The work on my wood stove, I've not done anything this week. I just finished another coffee can, because I'm building it almost entirely out of coffee cans.
Yeah, I can tell.
To be as hobo as possible.
It is very amusing looking.
Yeah. So, it's neat. I've got another coffee can that I just finished, so that's another one.
I still say it looks like a big bong. It
does look like a big bong. You're going to come to my house one day, and I'm just going to replace the wood with, like, a pound of weed in the rocket stove.
Now, if you replace that wood with a pound of weed, I'm going to be like, where the hell did you get the money for that?
Oh, it's growing in your yard.
It is not.
It is not. Facebook will probably arrest us if we say that. And on that, what do we got coming up today?
Well, coming up on the show today, we're going to be talking about the UWM saying that politically correct is no longer politically correct. We're going to be talking about how Facebook calls the cops on you. Going to be discussing some survival myths and our review on Optimine, a brain enhancer.
Yes. Brain fixerizer.
But before we get into that, we need to remind you that the Survival Punk Army wants you.
It does indeed. The show runs on your pocket change you throw at us from your tiny sippy cups, and we appreciate it.
That's a choking hazard.
Yeah. ThrowPunk Army, discounts to online vendors. You get these zip files of the audio podcast in nice, convenient zip files instead of going through every single episode. Oh, also, if you click the podcast link, apparently there's something wrong with the encoding on it. I don't know why. But you then have to click on every single episode to make it like the entire episode to then right-click and save podcast. So, if you're a Survival Punk Army member, you go into your Survival Punk Brigade, you click the Survival Punk Army Brigade, backroom, no, Survival Punk Army Barracks. You right click, you save them in zip files of 10, bada bing, bada boom. Much more quickerist.
Yeah, that's a lot easier.
Yeah.
And you get that for, literally, pocket change a month.
$5 a month.
$5 a month, that's not bad. I mean, you won't even notice $5.
That's like a cup of coffee.
I mean, unless you only make like $15 a month, but you're probably not listening to podcasts at that point.
No, I mean, if you're making $15 a month, you're probably making $17,000 a month in, benefits from the government, so give me $5.
Yeah.
Bitches.
Either way you go.
Redistribute that wealth.
Hell yeah.
I want to shoot myself now. So with that, let's jump into, hold on, I want to preempt this real quick.
Oh, God.
So I saw an article going around the interweb, Jeff Radke. Comrade Radke, shared it to my Facebook wall.
Comrade Dimitri.
I saw it a bunch. And then, like, a one-second Google search turned up a result on Snopes, meaning, of course, it's faker and shit, and everyone on the interwebs is sharing it. It's up. Tennessee Walmart zombie attack.
Oh, Lord.
That did not happen. They're like, man enters Walmart, all scraggly and homeless-looking, bites employee. Takes several customers to bring the man down. Because there is a real news story. Like, this, apparently, it originated on a website whose tagline is, like, all articles may not be entirely true.
The fuck?
I mean, you know, there's fake news websites, and that's a neat idea.
Yeah.
But not when you not when people share it like it is real.
Oh, people are idiots.
People are idiots. And then people that will, like, link to it and, like, do their little write-up on it, they don't mention that it's fake. So people share those articles that are perpetrating it as true, and then you spread dumb to the internet. Kazoon tight.
Thank you.
Odin bless you, my friend.
I fucking hurt my throat just then.
Yeah.
That sucks. It feels like I got throat punched.
Nice.
Anyway.
There was a guy on a plane that bit a passenger like a zombie and then died afterwards, kind of like a zombie.
Damn, he bit someone that was poisoned?
I guess.
That's fucking nuts.
Yeah. But that is true. The Tennessee Walmart one is not true. And from what I hear, you are itching to see the second episode of The Walking Dead?
Yes, I am.
It is on my DVR.
Oh, God, yeah.
For you to watch.
Oh, hells yeah. I'm behind on The Walking Dead. I'm like a huge... I love The Walking Dead almost as much as I love Doctor Who.
I'm excited. There is another episode of Doctor Who on the DVR waiting for me.
I know.
For us. I was so tempted to just watch it. I'm like, I'll just watch it again with Mike and Andrea. And I'm like, God damn it, just fucking hold off. So, I think as soon as we finish recording this, you and your wife can come to my house and watch The Walking Dead if you so choose, whilst I do laundry before I die for sleep. And on that bombshell,
it is not time to end. It is time for our first news story about the UWM, whatever the fuck that
is. University of probably Western Wisconsin. Oh, Jeff Radke!
Oh, what the hell, Jeff?
The UWM says politically correct is no longer politically correct. This comes from campusform.org.
That's campus.
Campus.
Reform.
Reform. Campus.
What the fuck, dude?
I am tired. Oh,
that's like somebody who gets back from 2 weeks in Hawaii, looks at the, hey, U-Haul. No, that's U-Haul. Yes.
The phrase politically correct, and I remember when this phrase first popped up, like, in elementary school or something for me, like, fifth grade, I started hearing it. Like,
I started hearing it in middle school.
Yeah.
Something like that, maybe early high school, ninth
the
grade.
The phrase politically correct is now a microaggression according to the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee.
Did you say politically?
Yes, I did on purpose.
Oh, my God.
I'm deliberately fucking with you now.
Oh, great, we lost our two Asian listeners.
I will throw you into the power lines.
The university's Just Words campaign aims to raise awareness of microaggressions and their impact.
These microaggressions include words lame, thug, trash, and third world. Oh, that's gay. Whore slut. Illegal alien. Illegal alien is not a fucking discriminatory term! It's legitimate!
Oh my Jesus fucking Christ, my brain is now hurting. Retarded.
And nigga or nigger. So apparently,
Oh, wait, that one? That they just
Quentin Tarantino is just the fucking biggest bigot on the planet. Biggest bigot.
Oh my god. That is fucking nuts.
The phrase politically correct is now a microaggression according to the University of Wisconsin and Milwaukee. The university's Just Words campaign is the work of UWM's Inclusive Excellence Centaur and aims to raise awareness of microaggressions and their impact. Microaggressions like politically correct or PC.
I'm a Mac person myself.
No, you're not. God damn it. You hate Apple. You're just now starting to love the Apple TV I gave you.
I'm
Merriam-Webster.
Trying to be funny, motherfucker. That's some microaggression.
That's some macroaggression, bitch.
Oh, fuck.
Merriam-Webster defines politically correct as conforming to the belief that language and practices which could offend political sensibilities, as in matters of sex or race, should be eliminated. That definition literally chills down my spine of anger and hatred.
Ugh.
The university, however, claims that calling something politically correct has become a way to deflect and say that people are being too sensitive and police language. Politically correct, moreover, is just one of a whole host of words and phrases the university has denounced as microaggressions.
I hate to derail this, but what the hell's happening behind me?
The
fuck?
The cats are kitty fighting? Maybe I need to throw your cat out.
Yeah, that's
right. While we podcast.
Yeah, he's causing too much
shit.
Say
bye-bye, Jordan. This little cat is definitely a fat fatty.
Yes, this happens in the real world, folks.
Oh, Jordan, I'm sorry. Your friend can come back. You're too loud for playing.
Yeah, his cat podcast. Jordan and my cat Fathead were almost fighting behind me.
Interesting fact, when I got Jordan, his name was Fathead, so it's Fathead and Fathead Clay, and they're both... Jordan was a white kitty, and you have a white kitty. Now he's going to cry wanting his friend.
He's almost up the ladder.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, where were we?
Stop being politically incorrect, Jordan.
Interestingly enough, while the university's inclusive excellence center is labeled several common use adjectives harmful...
Did you just skip those whole two paragraphs there?
Oh, the university also claims the word lame is a microaggression that somehow both ridicules and ignores the lives of amputees. What the fuck? Did you just hear that?
I did hear that.
And therefore shouldn't be used. I'm sorry, but they haven't used the word lame for amputees since FDR.
No, I mean, lame is a term used for a horse that, like, breaks its leg, not for an amputee.
Jesus.
I don't call, like, Afghan people that lost their limbs in war lame.
What the hell's their problem? I mean, language
awesome.
Language evolution has moved lame away from that altogether.
Yeah.
Let's see. The UWM also claims that using the phrase third world to describe third world countries is a microaggression because it reinforces hierarchical, attitudes toward nations around the world, and establishes westernized industrialized countries and cultures as the standard upon which to measure national well-being or economic status.
So you can't call something what it is.
Yeah, because... Because
they defined it in the article to refer to third world nations as third world nations.
Yeah, they really fucking did. Interestingly enough, while the university's Inclusive Excellence Center has labeled several common use adjectives, the man running the campaign, Warren Shearer, the director of the university's Inclusive Excellence Center, has taken to Twitter to express his displeasure with the Republican presidential candidates in a non-inclusive manner. Shearer tweeted, "Fuck every fiber of your being" to Republican presidential candidate Mike Huckabee, and also accused him of pandering to Republican Jews.
His name sounds very Jewish.
I know.
Sure?
Yeah.
Stop with your self-hatred, sure.
Shearer, who identifies himself as a UWM employee on his Twitter profile, also accused presidential candidate Rand Paul of courting rich Jews.
Oh, he must be a poor Jew. He didn't get his, like, gold nugget from the center of the earth where the jewels rule us all there. All
right, so here's some of his tweets. Fuck every fiber of your being, at Governor Mike Huckabee. Warren Shearer, see, hashtag GOP debate. Huckabee, we give Iran money. I'm pandering to Republican Jews. This agreement is tissue. You. And Paul, why do you hate Jews? Paul equals, I no longer do because rich Jews.
What?
I don't know. Take it from there.
This Warren Shearer is a dumb bastard. And he has a sandy-ass vagina.
I'm pretty sure I could come across with better, more, intelligible phrase in 144 characters or whatever the fuck it is, because I don't tweet.
Yes. Nevertheless, Shearer's department claims that the word thug is a microaggression because it assumes that violence is a sole motivating factor in an action. ignores, yes.
Most of the people that use thug, half the time are describing themselves or the lifestyle. It's thug no life. Longer just like a hired thug that goes around fucking breaking people's kneecaps. Basically, I mean, it's just a fucking way of life.
Yes. Is a microaggression because it assumes blah, blah, blah. Ignores issues of poverty. Okay, so if you're poor, it's bad to call you a thug because you're stealing motherfuckers' money. I want to beat Warren Shearer to death.
I'm sorry, but thief outtrumps, fuck it.
I'm, actually, you know what? I think by definition of poverty, I am in poverty.
Yeah.
I should obviously just become a thug and start murdering people.
Well, yeah, by the, by
standards.
The, by the standards and of the everything. U.S. government. I mean, realistically, I'm in poverty.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not middle class. I am low working class.
Yeah. Issues. Ignores issues of poverty, education, and other institutional barriers. Used as synonym for nigga. I have never made that connection in my mind. I've never thought thug and or nigga mean the same. Usually, when I think of thug, I think of dumb white kids that wish they were black kids.
Yeah, that's what I always yeah. think of.
Yeah.
Like the dude Thomas back in the day. He was a thug.
He was a thug. Yeah, and actually, yeah, that was I've used that more than I have actual thugs.
Yeah, so Thomas, Doughboy, they were all thugs.
Doughboy. Oh, my God.
Shout out to Doughboy!
The just... We are going back to our ghetto roots here. I feel like we should have, like, Faygo in the background now just drinking that, too. The Just Words campaign also denounces the phrase illegal alien because it fails to recognize the humanity of immigrants.
What the fuck? The fucking shit, really?
Yes.
It is a literal description of their fucking status. They are an alien to this country illegally.
Yes, I mean... They're not allowing you to define things as what they are. I'm sorry.
Words such as crazy, trash, and welfare queen are also you know WM's list of microaggressions.
I see that they have trash, but not white trash. Seems very racist.
Oh, yeah, speaking of how they brought up nigga in here twice, but no white trash?
Yeah.
What about the crackers?
Yeah, I feel like this could be Quentin Tarantino. Like, Quentin Tarantino is going to listen to this episode because we say nigga 47 times in this episode.
I know. But wait, we also got to talk about feet. Or he won't fucking get it.
Yeah.
Quentin Tarantino, nigga feet.
Jeff Reich, he just wrecked his truck and blew up.
You guys are trying to kill me.
Neither Scheer nor Vice Chancellor of Student Affairs, Michael... Laliberte.
I like the way you say
responded
it
to campus reform's request for comment because they were too busy cleaning the sand out of their vaginas.
And honestly, I don't hold anything against the person that wrote this particular article because I could tell by the way they were writing it, they think that whoever fucking put this together is a bunch of wackadoodles.
Yes, I do. I mean,
they were being kind of like a little bit, and I don't even think they were trying to be patronizing to them.
I don't think you can write this out.
It's fucking retarded.
It is.
And I just used a microaggression.
I don't get people being so SV'd over stuff like this.
And what about him calling them the Jews?
Yeah, I mean, I hate when people will fucking like lash out against something. That, like, I hate hypocrisy. Yeah. That's what I fucking hate. This Warren Shearer, you are a goddamned hypocrite.
Yeah, really fucking is. I mean, because, you know, you could say the Israelis or the Jewish people, Judeo-Christianity, whatever, all that fucking shit. But no, you're saying fucking the Jews, which Jews has always been used...
A derogatory term.
Yeah.
On the people.
I mean, they are the Jews, but everybody's like... Nobody uses Jews nicely. And you're not even using it that nicely. You're a jackass.
Yeah, it seems like he's anti-rich Jew, which is a stereotype. That's a microaggression.
Yeah, that's a microaggression toward the well-off. I mean, and honestly, most of the rich Jewish people that I fucking have ever met are self-made because they fucking worked hard and worked even smarter than that and fucking made something out of themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, they prize education and guns.
Yeah.
Smart motherfuckers with guns.
See, I can sum up a what I feel that makes both liberals and conservatives hate me. So, you know, this guy obviously is all about having illegal aliens just fly across the border and, you know, do whatever. And the Republicans are like, you gotta close the border, you can't let those motherfuckers over. I'm like, let them come over. Don't give them any benefits, though. Because for God's sake, someone's gotta pick fucking oranges. I'm not picking oranges. The jobs that people are pissed that they come do, you're not gonna fucking do.
They wouldn't be coming here to do them if Americans were fucking willing to do them. I mean, I'm not speaking...
Hold on. You worked the tobacco fields for week, or 2 weeks, a month or something?
I fucking despise that shit.
Yeah, I mean, how was the pay?
Pay actually wasn't bad.
Yeah?
I mean, but... Okay, let me tell you this. I was, Shut the fuck up, dude. Leave my son out of this. Let me tell you something.
hold on. Inside joke, because all of you listeners, all five of you, you're our friends.
I have a 7-year-old son, Logan, and he tries, every time he wants to come in here, come into the bedroom, or come into mommy or daddy or Uncle James and tell us something, he always starts with, let me tell you something.
Which, if you've ever grew up, like, I don't know if it's like every other big city, but in Nashville, every fucking, like, homeless guy ever that needed, like, 75 cents so he could get gas for his car and he'd mail it back to you, he always started out every store like, I gotta tell you something. I need 75 cents, man. I'll mail it back to you when I get all my problems, man. I've never asked this before. I'm microaggression all the hell. But every time I hear your son do that, I hear every single bum in Nashville that ever was like, come on, man, let me hold down 75, I'll mail back to you, man. All I need is about 350. Oh my God, your son is the Loch Ness Monster. What do you need, Logan?
I need about 350. I need about 350.
You ain't my son, you're the goddamn Loch Ness Monster.
I completely forgot what the fuck I was going to say now.
I Loch Ness Monster you, and now the shit's out the window.
Oh my God, I've lost my shit. I have no idea what the fuck I was about to say.
Let me tell you something.
That is so fucking horrible. God damn it, dude. What the hell was I gonna say? I can't even remember now.
We were talking about illegal aliens and...
Oh yeah, the tobacco shit.
Oh yeah.
No, I worked on two different crews for two different farmers. One crew was composed entirely of white and black people, and we all got paid about between $9 and $11 an hour back then. This was like 13 years ago, so that actually wasn't that bad.
No, and it was all back then was like $6.50 or something.
Yeah, it was all under the table.
Yeah, which is even better.
Yeah, I mean, we just got paid cash at the end of each day. The other crew I worked on, I was one of two white guys, and everybody else was Mexicans. And we got paid like $9 an hour. The Mexicans who were in paid like fucking $5.
Yeah.
But guess who the harder workers were?
The Mexicans.
Yeah, because, and that fucking crew was like 10 times more productive than the other crew I worked on. It really fucking was, because nobody wanted to be doing this shit. It sucked. I mean, it was hotter than hell. I mean, you were fucking, had a little axe that you had to sharpen repeatedly throughout the day cutting down fucking tobacco plants. Mm. And then you had this metal spike you'd stick on the end of the stick, and you'd spike it this stalk. You get like 8 plants on a fucking stick. I watched a motherfucker spike himself straight through the dead center of his head and had to go to the...
Oh, my God.
They had to make him go to the hospital, though. I would give him credit. He tried to keep fucking working. He's bleeding all over the tobacco. And Clay's like, dude, go to the fucking hospital. I'm not paying you if you don't go to the hospital. And he went.
Go shit.
Came back 2 hours later all bandaged up and wanting to continue his work. I will give him credit. He's a tough... He's a fucking roughneck, tough redneck motherfucker. I had to give him props.
Wow.
But I mean, the fucking, because we'd work equal sized fields pretty much on either side, and that field would take the white and black crew about an hour to get through. Mexicans would be done within a half hour.
Oh wow.
I mean, they were like goddamn machines, dude. And it was crazy. Yeah, they fucking come over here because hardly anybody. Let me tell you something. Everybody in the white-black crew that I worked on, none of them wanted to be there. This was a fucking flat-out desperation, my baby needs Pampers move.
Yeah.
The Mexicans, I mean, yeah, they need money too, but, you know, they're just a lot more happy about it. You know, that one fucking day that I worked with a Mexican crew, I'll be honest, I saw them maybe get a drink of water once all day.
Wow. That's, wow.
I mean, they're a different breed.
Everyone else is hanging out of the water cooler. Let me tell you something. Oh, man, next article before we fucking just do the whole episode on Let Me Tell You Something.
Comes from GorillaAmerica.com.
Liberty or death. Death or plunger. Why you're... No, actually, we're not reading that. That's not the article. Where's the right article? There it is. We lied. The real article we're reading is...
Comes from CountercurrentNews.com. Facebook calls the cop when they think you're posting about criminal activity.
Facebook has a new little known software that monitors your profile chat and pictures for criminal activity. The software will proceed to alert an employee at the company who will then decide whether to call the authorities or not.
Oh, Jesus.
The software will monitor individuals who have loose relationships on social media networks, according to an interview with Facebook Chief Security Officer Joe Consullivan. You can take over and read for a little beat.
All right. Reuters interview with the security officer explains Facebook software focuses on conversations between members who have a loose relationship on social network. For example, if two users aren't friends, only recently became friends, have no mutual friends, interact with each other very little, and have a significant age difference and or are located far from each other, the tool pays particular attention. The scanning program looks for certain phrases found in previously obtained chat records from criminals, including sexual predators. Because of the Reuters story, we know of at least one alleged child predator who is being brought before the courts as a direct result on Facebook's chat scanning. The relationship analysis and phrase material have to add up before the Facebook employee actually looks at communications and makes the final decision of whether to ping the authorities. We've never wanted to set up an environment where we have employees looking at private communications, so it's really important that we use technology that has very low false positive rates, Sullivan told Reuters. The software has been used to help gather information on potential murder suspects as well. In just one case, 62 pages of information, pictures, chat, and posts were gathered and handed over to local authorities by Facebook in a recent subpoena request. Facebook most likely wants to keep the software secret since most people do not think fondly of someone rummaging around their private messages and photos looking for criminal activities. Also, how far is the system willing to go, and will they soon pursue minor crimes or even thought crimes?
How fucking scary is that?
Well, I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a minute.
Okay. I may tell you what San Andreas, John, but continue.
Well, from everything I read, first, it's a software that scans for certain, like, key phrases. If enough between, like, people of sketchy relationship. Okay, so it scans for those. If it hears any of those key phrases, it then alerts them where they can actually read the communique and then have the final decision over whether or not, well, this is just a weird conversation that they're having about terrorists, or, holy shit, they're terrorists. And then they decide whether or not. In theory, it is a good thing. It's being socially responsible. In theory. I don't trust most humans, though.
More or less the government or Facebook. So they're scanning based on... And even... Okay, so... While you're reading this article, one thing popped out to me. That's just marketing. They soft-sold it. Mm-hmm. So basically, what they're doing is morally irreprehensible, mm-hmm. but they soft-sold it to you by saying they have caught child molesters.
Yeah, they really did.
Pretty much. I could go and say, oh, I murdered 47 people. James, you're horrible. They're child molesters. James, you're a hero!
Yeah.
I mean, that's marketing.
It really is.
So they soft-sold it by basically saying, Yeah, we're monitoring every single thing you do and say on Facebook, running it all through an algorithm, and then putting it into categories in the algorithm based on what you say. They're saying they only use it for criminal activities.
It just said fucking right at the end, though, thought crime.
Thought crime, yes.
That they might be moving toward thought. If you think about doing something criminal?
Yeah.
Isn't that like that fucking horrible...
Minority Report?
Yeah, Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah. Future crime.
Arresting you for something you haven't done yet.
Yeah, that's what I have issue with. And I have issue with... Everybody breaks laws every day. I saw an article, I didn't read it. It was, what was it, like 75% of all people, and you know, 60% of all statistics are made up. So 75% of all people, and I'm making that up, are actual felons that have never been caught and prosecuted. I mean, if you look at every single law on the books that can make you a felon, you're probably a felon in theory, in thought, uncaught.
I was arrested on a felony charge of altering a temporary tag. That's a felony.
Yeah, because you screwed Caesar from his taxes.
Yeah, that's... I wasn't hurting anybody. I wasn't raping anybody. I screwed the government out of, like, I think $12.
Yeah.
I was trying to.
You're trying to.
Joke's on them, though. I'd already altered that temp tag 3 times.
What? Yeah, I wouldn't say that.
I know, I'm just fucking with you.
I mean, I'm worried now. Like, a couple days ago, I posted on Facebook that I was disappointed that all of my drug-dealing friends are pharmacists. Not because I want to get high, but because I want to do some brain optimization things. But that also is a crime.
To optimize your brain?
Without prescriptions from Caesar.
Oh, my God. I mean, if you got something...
Well, I mean, you know what? And I think one of our next episodes, I'm going to tackle our healthcare industry. Because it's just, like, every day I'm getting more and more pissed by the healthcare industry.
Yeah.
I don't ever go because I take care of my damn self. But there's things that piss me off, like, I wish I could just go to the pharmacy and be like, hey, I've researched this chemical compound. Can you make it for me? No, like that Goto Cola, I think, whatever, that helps with loose skin during weight loss.
Yeah.
You need to have a pharmacy that's a compounding pharmacy, like your workplace, make you the compounded cream that works faster than the herbal supplements.
You know how they do?
I would need a prescription for that.
You know, and that's one area where fucking Mexico is relatively liberal about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, a lot of times you go to a pharmacy, and you can go to a pharmacy in Mexico and be like, yeah, I've read up on this, and I think this drug would help me.
Like steroids.
Yeah, so can I please get this drug? They're like, okay, we have a doctor upstairs that'll write you the prescription. Because there is still that law, but they'll have a doctor on staff who can just write you the prescription for whatever the fuck you want. That is a loophole, and they exploit the ever-loving shit out of it.
I watched a documentary on Netflix that I think may have been removed by now about steroids.
Mm-hmm.
About how that has just been completely vilified.
Oh, yeah.
Steroids, like, all of the stuff you know in, like, media is pretty much media bullshit. Like, roid rage, pretty much bullshit. And these two brothers that are trying to take steroids, they drive across the border into Mexico. They drive through the border to the very first pharmacy. They go in. Hey, I'd like to buy anabolic steroids. You have a prescription? Yeah. Okay. They did not ask to see it. They were like, do you have one? Yes. Okay. I trust you.
I don't see... Okay, yeah. I just don't get why the fucking government hates anabolic steroids. I mean, it's...
Litigation. Well, no.
It takes away a person's rights, okay? God damn it. I mean, yes, some people want to get bulked up twice as fast as they should. Fucking let them. I don't care. It's not hurting me. I think it should be every human's God-given fucking right to hurt themselves if they fucking want to. to do whatever the fuck they want with their bodies. I mean, goddamn, you got people out there with not a fucking inch of virgin skin covered in fucking tattoos. You got people with 57 fucking piercings in the fucking forehead. Why aren't they fucking making that illegal? Why aren't they fucking vilifying that? No, but you got some guy with big bulky fucking muscles. Oh, goddamn, he's a fucking criminal. He's using an illegal fucking narcotic. Throw his ass in fucking jail. And everybody who's fucking been any fucking part of that. That just fucking pisses me off. Big muscles, to me, are no different than other fucking body art. You want to look that way? God damn it, I think it should be your fucking right to look that way.
Yeah. Taking that even further than that. So, there are some possible side effects for bad usage of steroids. After watching the documentary, I think they're pretty acceptable. And, you know, using them correctly is pretty much as safe as anything else.
Yeah.
It is a felony in most states in America to sell raw milk.
That is the stupidest goddamn
prison,
thing.
Prison, not
ever.
Jail, prison.
A fucking felony, because they're not getting those government subsidies from pasteurizing the milk, and that way they can take it out and give, you know, baby daddy government cheese.
All sorts of bullshit, yeah. I mean, if we could remove, like, the ability for people to sue people because they were stupid, I think that would solve everything. Then, you know, if I decide to go to the pharmacy and say, hey, I would like a prescription for modafinil, and I magically overdose on this unoverdosable pill, this is my problem for being dumb. I believe that you should wear your seatbelt. I do not believe it should be enforceable. If you don't want to wear your seatbelt and you happen to crash and die, that's your problem.
You know what? I'm starting a goddamn movement. This has all fucking got me a little bit fucking motivated. I want to start a movement. It's starting right here and fucking now, people. I want you to share this fucking podcast. I want you to fucking retweet what I'm about to say. Put it all over goddamn social media. Seeing as how I want the government to fucking change, I want us to get back to the land of the fucking free that we were meant to be. And seeing as how that's never going to fucking happen, not in my lifetime, I want to fucking start a movement to have them take the fucking phrase, land of the free, out of the national anthem, because it's a goddamn lie to everybody at every ball game, every NASCAR event, every fucking elementary school that ever hears that. We do not live in the fucking land of the free anymore. This is the land of the fucking repressed. This is the land of the sandy vaginas. This is the land of a fucking... where the government controls everything. They've got us in a fucking hierarchy that there's no goddamn escape from. And if we do something they don't like, they call it illegal and throw our asses in jail. If that we do something we really don't like, all they gotta do is fucking pull the Patriot Act and throw our asses into Guantanamo Bay if they're still using it. If not, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they said they were closing
it
down.
Obama's campaign promise to close it has gone unfulfilled.
But anyway, so I want the phrase, land of the free, fucking taken out of the national anthem, because we do not live in the land of the free, and I fucking feel bad for any of you stupid, hapless motherfuckers out there that are deluding yourselves, still thinking that the land of the free is the land that you fucking live in here in the United States of America, because it isn't.
We're number one.
Remove land of the free from the fucking national anthem.
We are now the land of the sandy vaginas.
Damn right.
What are we in? 37 minutes. Let's jump into the main topic.
Yeah, we're still in the news story.
I know.
That's a record for us.
Yeah, oh my.
So the main topic is survival myths.
Yeah,
hopefully these will be a bit less hot button.
Some of them. So we talked earlier about, we'll run through some of these. We talked earlier about, you know, that zombie article that was fake and people shared. People share a lot of fake shit on the internet because they don't actually look into anything. They don't look into it. They don't know if it's fake or not.
If you see it on television or hear it on the internet, it's got to be true.
Exactly.
People don't care about fucking details. They only care about headlines.
Yeah. We'll jump into some good ones. I want to jump into one that I've seen shared around a million times.
Is that the Mountain Dew Lantern?
It's the Mountain Dew Lantern.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the Mountain Dew
Lantern. Yeah. The stupid camping fun, you know, things you could do. There's this Mountain Dew Lantern myth that, and the first time I saw it, it just set off my BS lantern. I'm like, my BS meter. The myth is that you could take a Mountain Dew, take like what, a drink out of it, or pour some of it out, and pour baking soda and hydrogen peroxide in it to make a fucking glowing, a glow light, a chemical reaction, make it glow.
I've seen like fucking vines of that, where they're like, fucking Mountain Dew, fucking peroxide, fucking blah 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 blah. Shh. Glow stick.
Yeah. Yeah. And people are sharing that like it's real, and
it's not.
Someone made that rumor. Other people found out it doesn't fucking work. So then they recreate the results they want to keep spreading the rumor, which is pour glow stick in there.
Yeah, that's what they're fucking doing, people. Don't be duped by this.
Yes.
They basically empty out a fucking glow stick, the liquid in that, into the fucking Mountain Dew. Phew, you got a glow stick.
Yeah, and apparently peroxide may actually make a glow stick brighter. Just FYI, in case you need to know that. That does cause a chemical reaction to make it go brighter.
But it has no phosphorescent fucking properties itself.
No. So, if you share that around, that Mountain Dew can be made into a lantern, and you're using that information as survival information, you are fucked, and you are dumb. Look into it. Take the easy ones out first. In! That's your favorite word, Mike.
The end of the world as we know it?
Teotihuacan, yes. In Teotihuacan, I lose weight.
No,
probably. That's what every fucking fat bastard prepper thinks. When the apocalypse happens, I'll lose weight. You'll probably starve to death.
Yeah. As a fat bastard myself, I would like to say you need to get in shape now. I know I haven't. I'm in a lot better shape than I was. But, yeah. You know. You don't just think because, okay, you fucking 350-pound motherfuckers out there, don't think the end of the world's going to happen, civilization's going to fucking break down, fucking all this shit, and because you're having to all of a sudden work harder to scrounge for food that's going to cause you to lose weight. First off, the fucking hard work, your first instinct's going to be like, leave that to somebody else so they can take care of me. Second off, you get out there, there's a good chance you're going to have a fucking heart attack.
Yeah, you're not going to be prepared to work that hard, you'll get sick working that hard, and yes, technically, the fat stores on your body are used as energy. You cannot okay, so first of all, switching from a glucose-burning system to a fat-burning system is not going to happen when the apocalypse happens like that.
No.
You're not going to wake up. You have gone from glucose to fat-burning I made you lose weight before. And we're looking at least a couple of days of misery. And to be honest, maybe even up to 30 days for your 30 to 60 days for your really, really fat adapted.
By the end of that first week, dude, I thought I was going to die.
Yeah, I mean, I've experienced basically what's called low-carb flu before. When you take that plunge from going to a glucose-burning system to a fat-burning system, you will feel like you have the flu for 2 days. You will not be able to bust your ass those 2 days.
No, you fucking won't.
You'll be on the couch sleeping and sick. And it doesn't, people are like, oh, I've got all this energy stored on me. No, you fat bastard. After about 21 days, no matter how many calories you have stored in your fucking gut, you're probably going to die. You won't magically be able to live off those fat stores for that long.
You're not a fucking camel.
No, it doesn't work like that.
Even camels aren't the camels that people think camels are.
Yeah. And I've talked before, and oh my god, when we were at Aldi's yesterday, and you were getting your groceries, and I was getting coffee, me and your wife went out so you could pack your boxes correctly without anyone interfering with your box packing.
I'm sorry, I'm a Tetris master when it comes to Aldi's.
Some fucking hippie, possibly Jehovah's Witness girl.
Oh god, I knew you were gonna bring this up.
Gave your wife some, health pamphlet, like, Health of the Nations. I didn't hear right. I thought she was Jehovah's Witness, and I thought it was something about hell. She's like, no, health. Health. So I looked through it, and some of it was sandy vagina stuff. Some of it was actual.
Do you still have the pamphlet?
It's in your car, I think.
Oh, God. I almost want to run out there and get it.
Parts of it were like, how to live a vegan diet. And I remember there was a sentence that was like, it has been scientifically proven that a diet lower in protein and fats and higher in carbohydrates is good for you. At that point, I think I yelled out of the car at her. I'm like, you're just a woman with a small brain. You don't know things.
Yeah, no, that was completely ass backwards of what the fucking truth is.
Yeah, and people will keep doing the same things, wondering why they don't get the results. It's insanity.
That's the definition of insanity.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. If I try something, diet, health, whatever, training related, and it doesn't work within a specific time, doesn't give me the effects I'm looking for, I abandon it. I don't have sacred cows. If low carb didn't work, and low carb is not a magic band-aid.
No, it's not.
It it's a tool in your toolbox to achieve a specific result for a specific time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you will not be able to magically live on your fat gut.
Now, I do want to go on record as saying, yes, in a survival situation, it is very common for people to lose weight.
Oh, yes.
But you cannot depend on that as your sole diet fucking plan.
No, no. And even though... So, maybe we should have took Nutrition Punk out this episode. Not for good, but just this episode.
Oh, we're just kind of merging it with Nutrition Punk.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Might as well.
So, you know, there's three macronutrients that you need to survive. You have protein, fats, and carbs.
Right.
And you can live on fat alone for a short period of time.
Not forever.
No, because you lack some nutrients. You need protein synthesis to rebuild muscles and tissues and whatnot. But you can, for periods of time, live on nothing but fat. You can, for very short periods of time, live on protein alone.
Mm-hmm.
But then you'll get sort of protein starvation, and you'll die. You cannot live on carbohydrates alone. You cannot live without fat.
Mm-hmm.
You'll die.
Right.
I mean, no fat in your diet. If you had a 0% fat diet, you'd die.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a 0% protein, you would probably die.
Right.
If you had a 0% carbohydrate,
you're not gonna die.
You're not gonna die. Your body actually doesn't need it. If you're, okay, and one of the arguments, now I remember what it was, one of the arguments in that dumb pamphlet was your brain needs glucose to live. You gotta have carbs. Did you know that your body can make glucose from protein? So technically all you need is fat and protein.
Yeah, fat and protein.
And your brain will be like, hey body, I need some glucose. You got some protein? Let's make that shit into glucose.
No, we're not.
Gluconeogenesis.
We're not saying that eating carbs is going to kill you. Don't get us wrong there. I mean.
Well, it could. I mean, it actually could.
I mean, eating nothing but carbs could kill you. I'm not saying. I mean, fucking people in the workout world, even CrossFit, have told you that you had to add carbs back into your some carbs back into your diet in order for your workouts to pretty much not kill you.
And that was a performance enhancing drug. Basically, was carbs. It was under normal living conditions. No, I don't. Doing an insane WOD, I might need some more carbs for recovery. Most people, if your day includes getting into the car, driving to the office, sitting down at the office, driving home from the office, sitting on the couch watching TV. So if you think of carbs as fuel for activity, you've got to balance those carbs for your activity. If you have no activity, you probably don't need any carbs. Your brain can run off of a tiny amount of glucose.
Like, when I felt... Well, when I did that fucking first 30-day paleo thing, I mean, I went straight paleo. I didn't go no carbs, though. I mean, I was eating sweet potatoes.
Right.
I was trying not to eat them every day, though, because I was trying to lose weight.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And you did.
It's funny. I mean, I went through some weird changes on that diet, dude. I mean, physically, I was feeling great. I really was. I was full of fucking energy. Especially when I realized, you know, that I could eat more food than that first week.
Yeah, people's minds, they try to, the whole calories in, calories out, eat less calories, lose weight, which is just bullshit.
But, no, I mean, physically I was feeling great. Emotionally, though, about halfway through, I sunk into that fucking depression, though.
Yeah.
My fucking brain was suffering from a lack of cheese.
Yeah.
I swear to you, all I was craving was cheese.
Crazy.
It's funny, I never realized how much I love cheese until I couldn't have cheese.
So.
Oh my god.
Let's tackle some of the big myths now.
You know, I ate a whole pack of American cheese on that cheat day. 16 ounces, it's 1 pound of cheese I ate that day. I was so happy.
Gross.
Parts of me wish I had skipped that cheat day or not gone on so hardcore on it, because it pretty much wrecked it. With a lot of people, like, oh god, I can't believe I put this stuff in my system, it's making me feel horrible. With me, it was like, oh, I missed you, why did I ever walk away?
I know.
Why am I doing this to myself? I was happier then! And, yeah, that's why I got off the... But I've never given the diet up completely. I mean, because so much paleo food is good.
Yeah. I meant to tell you, Jeff Radke sent me a, this will be our paleo, our nutrition punk for that, talking about this stuff. Jeff Radke sent me an update, so he's still doing paleo.
Good for him.
He is under 300 pounds, because he was over 300 pounds.
Oh, he's, I didn't realize
possibly
that.
In the 260s now.
That's awesome, Jeff.
And he is off, I think, his diabetic medicine and possibly another medicine that he had. Maybe blood pressure, cholesterol, or all
that. That is awesome, Jeff. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, definitely proud of Jeff Dimitri. So, I mean, paleo works. I've not...
Oh, yeah, it fucking works.
Yeah. So let's talk about
but
this.
I suffer from food addiction. That's my problem.
You do. You need to go to FA's Anonymous. Moss grows in the north side of the tree. You know that, right?
I've seen moss growing on every single side of the same tree.
Yeah, and this will get people killed. This comes from the article I wrote a couple years ago. I mean, it's the same. Terrell myth that can get you killed. Moss grows in the north side of the tree. The myth is based on the fact that moss likes to grow in the shade and the damp. In the northern hemisphere, the north side of a tree would receive the least amount of sun, if any would seem to give credence to this myth. The fact that, in theory, it seems to make sense is probably why it's so prevalent. I've heard this myth my whole life. Have you?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, every time you see, like, I mean, I don't think they do it anymore, but, like, survival shows growing up was like, if you're lost, look for the moss on the north side of the tree, and you can get out. And I'm thinking, has that still helped me? I don't know which way to go.
No.
And then every time I've seen a tree, like when I'm hiking, I'll look at the tree, and it's usually ringed with moss all over if it has moss on it at all.
Fuck yeah.
That fucking, like, tree pole that I have in my my porch.
Yeah, I was just thinking
moss
about...
all sides.
Yeah. So,
which side is the north there? Like, if you're some dumb motherfucker stumbling through the woods, you look at the tree, you see moss, you're like, that's north. It's like, okay, good north. You turn around backwards and go back the other way, not knowing there's moss on the back and the sides, too.
Yeah. Fucking seriously.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, here in Tennessee, I know for a fact that the moss grows on all sides, usually.
So just ignore that. Moss, fucking leave it alone. The only thing moss might be good for is fire tender.
Yeah.
Not as a fucking compass.
Yeah, I mean, in your toolbox of navigational methods, don't even have that in there.
Now, if you really want to fucking know where north is and you don't have a fucking compass, just take this fucking little tip.
Don't. What are you going to say?
I was going to say try to find some, like, still water and a leaf and a fucking paperclip, straighten one end of the paperclip out, rub it with some wool really hard, put it on the leaf and let it float, and you've just made a compass that will point north.
Listen to Mike. He's a goddamn genius. We're going to...
You're about to fucking stop. You're about to... Oh, God. Couch Potato Mike's going to say something stupid.
Well, no. I was hoping... we're going to skip this one for now. I'm going to go to another article I wrote.
Don't try to get water from cactuses. That's all.
We're
going
to go back to that.
We're going to go back to it.
The North Star is the brightest in the sky.
Brightest star in the sky? I've seen a lot. It's actually a planet.
The survival myth that the North Star, Polaris, can help you navigate by being the brightest star in the night sky will point you north. I've heard this one for a long time, ever since getting survivalism, my whole life actually. Everyone's like, oh, if you're lost, look for the North Star, blah, 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 look for the moss in the tree. It's one of those things that people hear just pair back to others without fact-checking. Like it's etched in fucking stone. This is completely false, though. Polaris is about the same brightness as every other star and is easily missed. If you can find it and are in the northern hemisphere, it will point you north. I found a good page to locate it here. Link will be in the show notes. That's funny. It's both directions and then water. Let's go back to the cactus. You can take the cactus. All right.
Like many, I grew up believing that if for some reason I found myself lost in the desert, I just needed to find a barrel cactus and drink the water from it like a fountain. I cannot even figure out how this myth got started. Cacti are greedy with their water and will not be holding a glass beneath one to fill up.
The liquid you find upside one will be slimy and acidic. If this disgusting...
Why'd you say upside?
Find inside... I don't know. It looked like an up for a minute.
Bastard.
Fuck you.
You're adding typos that aren't there.
The liquid you find inside one will be slimy and acidic. If disgusting slime oozing from the cactus does not dissuade you from putting it in your mouth, you'll regret it later. Cacti are full of both malic and oxalic acid. Consuming the cacti slime will cause vomiting and diarrhea. Having either or both of these conditions will leave you far worse off than before guzzling the acid slime. Do not attempt to drink from a cactus, no matter how thirsty you are. It's not worth it.
No, it is not, you dumb bastards. But there is, I think, a cactus, a small cactus on the ground, not a barrel cactus, that has some water in the roots that you can get out. But not the barrel cactus. Do not drink the oxalic acid.
No. That liquid is not fucking water. No.
We've talked about this before. Every survivalist also thinks that if they found themselves magically in a desert and they happen to have plastic bags and a cup, that you can just whip out a solar steel in like 5 minutes, and then you'll have water to drink, and you'll be safe.
Mm-hmm.
I meant to do this during the summertime. We did not. You gotta base your survival knowledge and practice on your location. Here in beautiful Tennessee, and especially our locale, there is no need to build a solar steel.
No.
You have, several creeks around your house? We've proven the fact that you can get enough water to not die by putting a fucking trash bag over a tree.
Yeah.
That worked really well.
Mm-hmm.
We got, a couple cups of water? Was it 2 cups of water?
I'd say about 2 cups.
How many bags do you think we can put out in an hour?
Oh, God. I mean, that took us, three minutes?
Yeah, maybe.
Two, 3 minutes to set up.
Yeah.
And that was just on the first one. Through sheer repetition, you get quicker at stuff.
Yeah. So if we were going down through your field and putting bags on there, we could have enough water to drink pretty much indefinitely.
I mean, hell, if we spent fucking, a couple hours just going through the fucking woods doing that in a small area, by the time we got back to the first bag, there might actually be some drops of water in it.
Yeah. So.
Plus, this is fucking Tennessee. It rains here fucking all the damn time.
Yeah.
I mean, not every day, but... There's always fucking water here, but that, but other than Tennessee.
Yeah, I've seen a video, and I've talked to him in person, survival instructor James McCann. He and the late, great Ron Hood, they both have videos and stuff of them building solar steels.
Mm-hmm.
It took several people. It burned a shit ton of calories. They sweated their balls off digging the hole to fucking put the plastic tarp over it, to put the little cup in it, to get a thimble of water.
Yeah.
You're dead.
In the Gobi Desert episode of Survivor Man, I saw Lescal build a very small solar still. I mean, it was loose sand that he made the hole. He dug the hole with a stick in a couple of minutes. And he had a little plastic cup and he found some plastic in the rocks and all that stuff. And he peed in that hole. And then came back the next day and he had from this much piss, he had this much water.
Okay, you gotta remove the urine and separate the water. It's distilled that.
Yeah, I mean, I know I did this and this on a fucking podcast, but from a fucking, an inch and a half of fucking piss, he ended up with a fucking half an inch of water.
There you go.
If that much, I mean, and that was a sip. I mean, he ended up with a sip of water.
Yeah, which is still better than drinking your own pee. Bear Grylls.
Mike Hawk.
Yeah.
His wife drink his pee.
Yeah. So I think the real lesson to learn here, don't get lost in the fucking desert.
Why the fuck were you out there in the first damn place?
Yeah. I mean, nothing good ever happens.
There's a reason they call it the desert. It's deserted.
Yeah. And it does not have cheesecake, bitches.
Only thing that fucking lives in the fucking desert are cactus and shrimp.
Those are some of the big survival myths. If you have a survival myth that you are fond of that makes you chuckle when you hear fucking noobs talk about it, leave us a comment in the comment sections. I would like to hear what you have heard.
Absolutely.
So I too can chuckle.
And if he chuckles particularly hard at it,
we'll read it on air.
Yeah, we'll read it on air.
That is it for this episode? Yes! Oh, that bombshell!
It is time to end. We're going to have to move our review of Optimine up to the next episode.
Fuck, let's knock it out real quick.
Okay, let's knock it out real quick.
We're under an hour. So, I was mentioned earlier on the podcast about how I was interested in taking the drug modafinil, which is prescribed for people with shift work disorder, which I basically have. It's for people that work overnight, and they can't sleep, they have sort of brain fog, blah, blah, blah. It was the drug that they used to base the pill and Limitless on. They based it on modafinil.
Yeah.
And then I made you watch the pilot episode of Limitless, and you're now hooked as well.
Yeah, they pushed it to, you know,
To an extent. Yeah, they pushed it to the next level, yeah. But basically just to sort of clear up brain fog. While researching that, I came across a supplement developed by students at Harvard called OptiMind. And they had a free trial. They give you 10 pills, you pay like $1 in shipping or something.
Oh.
And I was like, fuck it, why not? I'm pretty much, who doesn't have a dollar to spend? I got the 10 pills, and then I proceeded to test them for the next week at work, originally starting with one pill per day.
I tested some as well.
Mike took one pill one day, and then I took two pills one day, and then Mike took two pills one day. And now I have one pill left that I did not take today, because today I am not on OptiMind, and you may have noticed brain fogginess to begin with. I originally had wanted to record this podcast with us both on two pills of OptiMind, which would have gotten derailed, because yesterday, while we were both on OptiMind, we got into a discussion about Jews. We will not repeat it on air. It was not microaggression, but it was an interesting conspiracy theory.
Yeah, plus a hypothetical situation about changing the past.
You can email me, james@sherylpunk.com, and I'll share it with you. It was a hoot, but made more sense on OptiMind.
Oh, my God.
So when I was going to work on the one pill of OptiMind, some of the things I noticed was the first day that I took OptiMind, I literally felt the brain fog remove while sitting here drinking my coffee, finishing it. Like, the brain fog that I'd had pretty much prevalent for weeks now, maybe even months now, I felt it clear. I started thinking a bit faster, and I felt, I did feel sort of that, like, invincible, like, luck. I felt lucky. I felt like if I would have played blackjack, I would have won. My brain was going fast. Like, I was thinking constantly, like, there were thoughts just jumping around in there. And my memory was better, where I was making connections and remembering things in the past. Like, I remember the Goto Cola herb that I heard about in a podcast with trainer Pavel. And then I remembered that Jeff Lawton had the herb growing in an herb spiral in a video that he did from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So I made the connection between there. So just brain cognitive functions were faster. Energy. Caffeine is one of the pills, one of the ingredients in the stack. And I felt pretty amped, pretty hyped. I had a lot of energy, which was good. My mood was improved. I felt pretty good, pretty happy, pretty go lucky. Horny as shit. One of the side effects, I was just randy all the time. So there's that. And possibly that, or possibly allergies, I had some sort of excessive thirst and dry eyes. So I was just like, I constantly had like dry mouth from cotton mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And my eyes were just like, they itched and they were dry. Maybe related to that, maybe randomly happened to have allergies, I don't know. And that was all in the one pill per day, taken after waking up, along with some bulletproof coffee. The day that I took two pills, I had some, like, mild paranoia and weird attention things. Like, I was noticing things in my peripheral, and they were distracting me. The world may have seemed brighter. I bounced between, like, supreme concentration and then, like, spastic, like, my mind racing in a million things at once. I was kind of jittery. I didn't really care for that too much. So, for me, I feel that one pill of the OptiMind was a pretty good pretty good cognitive enhancer. I don't know if I would be willing to continue it. There's more things that I would like to try, but I'll put a link in the show notes for you to click the button to get the free 10 pills. I mean, fuck it. Why not?
Absolutely.
What were your experiences in OptiMind?
Well, I felt a lot more alert. It's like I was aware of everything around me.
Yeah.
And I got really horny.
Yeah.
Both times. Which is, and it was keeping me in a better mood.
Yeah, I did notice that. I thought about isolating the either the combination or the single ingredient that did that mood enhancer. Which is funny, because the first day you took it, you're like, I didn't feel anything. And then your wife disagreed. Your wife was like, no, I kind of noticed this, this, and this. You were more chill. You were horny. My butt still hurts. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I gave you the lube.
No. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't think you had, like, the overpowering jitteriness, but I combined mine with probably 2 cups of bulletproof coffee. You broke your bulletproof cherry, Saturday morning?
Yesterday.
Yeah, so you might see why the combination of those both together would have an extra boost there.
Yeah. But honestly,
and then you took 2 pills.
Yeah, yesterday when I took the 2 pills and the fucking bulletproof coffee, after a while I wasn't feeling right.
Yeah.
In all honesty, I mean, I think I was feeling paranoid.
Yeah. Remember I said that when I took 2 pills, like, I felt some sort of paranoia. Like, I couldn't, like, because of the peripheral things, like, I was constantly, like, looking around and, like, because you notice things, like, I would see spiders coming down the wall in my peripheral vision, and then the leaf would fall, and I would sort of be like, ah, freaking out about it.
Mm.
And then I kind of noticed some, like, time distortion, where, like, leaves that were falling, seemed like they were falling slower, and I paid more attention to them, and,
That's probably just because you were paying more attention to them.
Maybe, the word paranoia, I don't know.
You'd been wearing the Jewel of Judgment too long.
So I definitely, and if you get that reference, send us an email.
Hells yeah.
I definitely would suggest that you do 1 pill, personally. I think it gives you enough of a brain edge without the jittery paranoia, weirdness. I mean, and there was a, possibly a pretty, yeah, a crash. I think I took a nap after I took 2 pills. And then you were sluggish and tired after you took the 2 pills.
I was. But when I took the 1 pill, I didn't feel that. I didn't have that experience.
And there was sort of a long, extended energy mood. So, yeah, I think 1 pill is good.
Yeah, 1 pill a day suited me fine. And like I said, and I did notice a little bit of sharpness around the world when I took the 1 pill.
Yes.
But I just thought, I didn't even attribute that to it.
Yeah.
I don't know, I thought I was basically overthinking it.
Right.
But, yeah, my wife says I was a lot more chill, I was a more calm, I was in a better mood,
yeah.
And I got jiggy with it.
And it's all legal, and I don't have to break the law to get it.
It's not FDA approved, but then again, most...
It's not FDA for the... You know what? I think I want to start, like, a Survival Punk snake oil. Like, I just want to, like, give this shit up and just get like a gypsy wagon and go around and start selling... James's snake oil. Step right up and have a drink of this snake oil. It'll cure everything you have, my friend. And on that bombshell,
it is time to end. So, for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James Sick One Burnett.
And please, like I said earlier, take Land of the Free out of the national anthem.
DIY to clean the sand out of your vaginas.
Use guys.
Use guys.